welcome to the Houston Innovators Podcast. I'm Natalie Harms, editor of Innovation Map. Today, my guests are Mike Francis and Carrie Horizek of Nanotech, a Houston-based material science company. Years ago, Mike founded the company around a unique and durable material. He's grown the technology into fireproofing and energy loss reducing coatings, but that's just the beginning. Now with Carrie, the company's chief commercial officer, leading the way, Nanotech's flagship product is rolling out on rooftops across the country. Mike, Carrie, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having us, Natalie.
Thank you.
So I'm excited to talk to y'all and get some updates on Nanotech, but before we go into any details, let's back up a bit. Mike, you and I go way back. I've heard the Nanotech origin story a few times, but yeah, for our new listeners' purpose, why don't you share the kind of the when and why you got into this business?
Yeah, thanks, Natalie. So we are a proud Houston startup. So we started here back in 2020 out of a garage in Houston, Texas. We sold our first buckets, blended out of old beer tanks, and we crushed our what is now our NanoShield particle old blenders and shipped them off into old Home Depot buckets, and true garage startup. And now we've managed to grow since we last talked, which is about 2 years ago, and we can cover about 55 million square feet across the U.S. And we're actually distributed across the U.S. now. So we're very proud to be in the Houston ecosystem. We could not have done what we've done and accomplished what we've accomplished without, the support of, the Fortune 500s here, the accelerators here. And yeah, we're excited to be growing, expanding our team, expanding our production, and, hopefully making Houston proud.
Absolutely. I think Nanotech is such an interesting company. I mean, in a world of lots of software technology, right? So why don't you kind of give like an overview of the product that you've created and kind of its multifaceted purposes?
Yeah. So Nanotech, so we're a material science company that we've developed a particle, which is basically a platform for what we call climate resilient materials. So the particle itself can be incorporated into lots of different things. So things like paints, polymers, coatings, acrylics, cement, concrete, et cetera. And the basis of the technology is it creates a thermal barrier to prevent either heat from coming in, heat from going out, or also to fireproof. So we have a couple of flagship coatings. One is our fireproof coating. So that'll fireproof to about 1800 degrees Celsius. There's no flame spread. There's virtually no heat transfer that happens. So we can actually prevent a building or a structure from burning, and there's no chemical reaction that happens. So it's very safe and it's not causing smoke. So it's going to be used in a lot of different areas. We also have a passion for, fireproofing, different fire prone areas across the U.S. So we're very heavily working with, those states that are most prone to it. And then our flagship coating, so we've incorporated our particle into a roof coating, and our roof coating, really is outstanding. And I think Carrie can maybe do a better job than I can explaining what the roof coating does and the implications that it has for carbon emissions as well as energy savings.
Great. Well, let's go ahead and get into Carrie and your background. Obviously, you're relatively new to the company, but you really hit the ground running and you have a background doing this type of business. So why don't you share a little bit about your professional take?
Sure. Absolutely. Thanks, Natalie, for having us. So yeah, my name is Carrie. I'm the Chief Commercial Officer for Nanotech. I come from a strategic management consulting background. I call myself a recovering management consultant by trade. I did that for about 9 years before I went back to business school and have been in the world of entrepreneurism ever since. I've been in Texas now for about 2 years and I'm never leaving. I've absolutely fallen in love with the state. I met Mike actually at a Halliburton Labs event about a year ago, and we kind of quickly became Houston entrepreneurial drinking buddies and kind of started talking about the different work that we were doing. And he found an opportunity for me to come over and join the Nanotech team. It's been an absolutely exhilarating ride the whole couple of months that I've been here now. So I've been overseeing the launch of our flagship coating, as Mike just articulated. Our cool roof coating is based off of the same baseline particle that goes into our fireproof, our insulator, all of the other great products that we come out with. It's really solidly targeted at the building space, specifically looking at the intersection of energy cost reduction and carbon emission reduction. So it's just a coating that can go on top of existing structures, any type of commercial roof. And we have a pretty good amount of data from 2022 showcasing that we can actually reduce HVAC consumption within the building by about 30 to 40%. And we can reduce internal temperature within the attic or the first floor by up to 25 to 30 degrees. So our clients really start to see an immediate benefit in their energy bill. And of course, if you reduce the HVAC consumption, that automatically translates to a decrease in your scope one emissions. And this is something we're really excited about playing in the climate resilient materials space, because we're ultimately offering our clients the opportunity for sustainability with a return, you know, so they can provide data demonstrating that they're significantly cutting down on their scope one emissions, which is a really big deal and something that quite a number of companies have come out in the last few years and said is an important part of their CSR report. And something that they're really going to target by 2030.
It's such an interesting and changing, you know, climate tech in general. There's all these different kind of segues and sections of it. And we've got building materials is a big part of it. So what sort of potential do you feel like this product's going to have on that marketplace? Both of you, either of you can take that.
Yeah, maybe I'll start and then Carrie can fill in the details. So we have a grand goal of winning the green building space. So, you know, buildings, they generally produce most of the CO2 emissions from heating and cooling of the buildings and homes. And we really think that we have a great shot at significantly reducing that. A majority of those emissions come from the HVAC. So about 40% of all US CO2 emissions comes from buildings and heating and cooling of buildings. And a very significant portion comes from the HVAC. So we're starting with the roof because most of the heat loss happens in the roof. And we can, you know, reduce the energy consumption dramatically with just going on top of an existing building. But that's just where we're going to get started. So you're not an entrepreneur unless you want to change the world. And we all, we have a culture around this. We want to make our fingerprint on and put our mark on the world. So we just filed a patent for a new clear coat. So the clear coat will go on our skylights to let the light through, but keep the heat out. It'll also go on solar panels, which allows the light to go through, but not the heat, which improves the efficiency of the solar panel. Our particle plays really well in cement and concrete. It makes the cement about 10 times more insulating. And then our fireproofer, will go in, in the gypsum, on the gypsum, as well as creating firewalls as well. So Carrie's done a really good job at building our overall, green building portfolio strategy, but you got to start somewhere. And we're starting with the roof and then trickling down to the entire green building space. What did I miss, Carrie?
No, you nailed it. I think the one thing I would just add with the roofs in particular is a lot of businesses right now are kind of stuck in the execution of their CSR targets, specifically 2030. You know, so if you kind of dig into some of the sustainability reports, most major businesses will list scope one or energy efficiency in buildings as one of the first ways in which they really want to reduce their scope one emissions. That's not free. It's actually very expensive to get LEED certification, to go in and create energy efficiency across your portfolio. And to Mike's point, the majority of those emissions are not actually driven by vehicles or down the supply chain. It's driven by buildings, so that's the one place that you can really have the biggest impact. I think one of the things that got us excited about this particular coating was our ability to not just offer the opportunity to continue to reduce those emissions and where they're making the biggest impact, but to do it without adding substantial cost. So because we can layer in those energy cost savings, it really provides an opportunity to get a return immediately, so you don't end up having to fork up a huge amount of money kind of right at the beginning. And that it creates a little bit of a lower risk for companies that are looking to execute, but might be on kind of a brink of a maybe a recession, not a recession, nobody really knows right now. But it's kind of making everybody go, okay, I have to be a little careful about spending. So if there's an opportunity for me to spend on something that, you know, will ultimately be a cost saver as opposed to a cost driver for the business, it's a much easier conversation to have.
And it's also not something where I feel like you have new technologies in this space. They have to be either implemented like at the build process, but this is something we can take existing structures and optimize that efficiency.
And, you know, one thing I'll add to that, Natalie, you said software, right? There's a lot going on about software right now. If you look in the space, you're right. There's a bazillion climate models and cap and trade policy. And how can we, you know, buy carbon credits here and move them over here? And all of that is fantastic, right? We need everything that we can possibly get to kind of tackle this problem. One of the things I really like about working at Nanotech is it's stuff, right? It's a material science company. So ultimately, we make a physical thing that enables our clients to emit less. So it's actually just incredibly simplistic in its solution. It's a thing that enables you to emit less. That's it, you know, and it's very easy for people to wrap their heads around that.
You're so good, Carrie. Like, why am I even here?
You're here for the beard. listeners don't get it. No. So I think it's such an interesting concept. And yeah, you don't have to have that learning curve as much, hopefully, as you implement and expand nationwide, which is one of the reasons we're talking now is this month you have rolled it out across the country. So tell me about that process. What does that mean for y'all as a company? What does it mean for your customers?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll start by saying we are an incredibly data-driven company. So we've actually had the Cool Roof Coating product done for quite a while. But one of the things we wanted to make sure that we did before we considered any kind of mass distribution deal was a good amount of testing. So pretty much all of the back end of 2022, we were really fortunate to have some early clients that took a bet on us and were helping us go on our kind of first set of roofs to be able to measure the data, make sure that we could back up all of the claims we were making with a really good scientific, rigorous process. We then brought on a local partner right here in Houston, RB Hash and Associates. They're absolutely fantastic. That really helped us fill in all of the gaps on all things roofing. So I now know more about EPDM and metal and modified bitumen style roofs than I ever thought I would know in my life. And fill out kind of all of the additional, the things that we needed to do to be able to actually launch the product to market. And once we got all those materials built, we were really selective in who we decided to bring into the program. We actually made the decision not to go with a really mass distributor for 2023 because we wanted to make sure that we developed really strong relationships with our partners and brought on partners that really believed in our vision and understood what we were trying to do at Nanotech, not just with our roof coating, but with our whole vision as a company. So for 2023, we've just launched our partner enablement program. We have 12 fantastic companies that are in the program to date, and we are actively interviewing candidates for our final 8 slots in the program. We can distribute all the way from Sacramento, California, all the way up to Dover, New Jersey now. We've got the whole nation divided up into 6 regions and a new page on our website where you can kind of look across the U.S. and see all of our different partners who are really excited to be working with us now. So it's just been a really incredible ride to see companies come from kind of all across the country, get excited about the product and want to jump into the program. What I miss, Mike?
No, it was great. I'll just add one thing that we really focused on were partners that had a cultural fit to us. So if there's any startups out there listening, it's super important to have internal culture. But it's also very important as you start to expand your brand and your distribution network, you have to have partners within your infrastructure that are going to align to your brand that you're trying to create, to the integrity, the honesty, and the cultural fit that has to happen when you really do create a partner. So we looked at a couple different things, you know, do they have the integrity? Do they have the track record? And can they actually distribute our product to, you know, the places that we need to? And Carrie did an outstanding job, and we have the just outstanding 12 first partners, and I think we'll probably cap it at 20 partners because we want to control who is actually touching, feeling, installing, and working with this technology that we really think has a really good shot at impacting the world in a really good way.
Yeah, I wonder, since this is a bit different of a company than a lot of the founders I talk to and a lot of those who are listening, talk me through the process of really deciding the best way to get your product across the country. Obviously, there's tons of different options, and you guys went with this small group of people to be a part of this, or small companies to be a part of this. But yeah, what other options did you consider, Mike? And was this always kind of a part of your business roadmap, or did this kind of happen along the way?
Yeah, you know, I'm a huge believer in hiring talent that sees things differently than you do. And, you know, a lot of this happened once we hired Carrie on. So she was able, you know, to kind of see things different and take a different perspective on, you know, how maybe I would have approached it in the beginning. And I think that it was a little bit eye-opening, right? So as an entrepreneur, you get kind of stuck in the fire, no pun intended, stuck in the fire of just trying to develop the product, trying to create partnerships, et cetera. And, you know, we were toying with the idea of doing mass distribution. We were toying with the idea of just going direct to the big retailers, you know, the big corporations, which we still do a little bit. But then we had kind of a moment where we started, you know, specifically talking to the owner of RB Hash. And, you know, they've been around for 30 years. And they just told us different stories about how other technologies have launched too quickly and, you know, flopped on their face because they didn't have the proper infrastructure in place that was going to be good stewards of the technology. And so once that happened, we really, you know, I'm not good at a lot of things, but I'd like to think that I'm a good listener. We listened to the feedback that we were getting from people that have done it, you know, for decades and decades. And once we heard that feedback, and, you know, Carrie happened to come on at the same time, it collided with each other. And you know how I'm really big in collisions. The collision of really good talent within Carrie, as well as what we were getting from, you know, the voice of the customer, from our potential partners at the time, made us take a step back and said, hey, we're going to be around a really long time. There's no need to rush this thing. Let's get the right partners that are going to align to our brand, and let's launch it a little bit slower, maybe make a little bit less money on the front end, but we really think it's going to benefit us as we start to go into the next period of our company, as we get larger and larger and larger. And I think having a core team of 20 installers across the US that we can have, you know, brand control over is really going to benefit our intangible assets over a longer period of time. Would you agree with that, Carrie?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, our Cool Roof is our flagship, right? So the whole nanotech brand is wrapped up in this. And then ultimately, all of our products spring out of it. So that was really what it came down to for us, was just, as Mike said, you know, bringing on partners that we knew believed in the vision. And as such, we're going to, you know, treat the brand with care and integrity and respect, and be able to help us really make a splash for the end customer. It's always a little bit scary as a manufacturer, right? Because you're kind of removed from the end customer. It has to go through an applicator first. So making sure we have the right applicators was really critical. And it will be across our entire portfolio as we continue to release products in the coming years.
Yeah, as much as I've talked about how Nanotech is a very different company than what else is out there, that's a great lesson for all founders, is to really consider all of your options. And the one that might seem like fast growth, where that might seem overall positive, might not be the right move to make right out of the gate, just to kind of really establish yourself and make sure you can keep up with demand. So now, looking forward, and you've got this launch under your belt, and you're bringing on a couple more partners or several more partners, but what's next on this startup roadmap, Mike? And then maybe Carrie, you can weigh in after.
Yeah, to me, it's all about people and culture moving forward. So we have the product, you know, the technology's there. We're, you know, filing multiple patents, you know, almost every month to enter different areas of the green building space, as well as the fireproofing space. You know, we're working with more than 40 Fortune 500 companies. You know, things are really clicking. What I think is the next period in our company history is really hiring the best talent that we can possibly find. And, you know, the talent, you can have the best technology in the world. Talent is what makes companies. And we're just now transitioning, you know, from a technology to a real company. And so the next period, at least from my perspective, I know Kerry will have a different one. At least my perspective is getting the best people that we can possibly hire, filling the gaps that we have, because we're still a small company and we're growing quickly. But if you don't take the same steps that you did with launching a, you know, commercializing a technology, I think about it the same way as commercializing people, right? You got to take it slow, hire the right people, make sure that the right fit, because that is the next period of nanotech. The technology's there. You just got to find the right people that match with your culture. What do you think, Kerry?
No, I would build on that. People is really going to be critical for us. We're in a high growth phase as a business. We're really excited to be able to start hiring here very soon. And I would just say in 2023, we're just trying to expand, right? To get on as many roofs as we absolutely can, knowing that the other portfolio components of the green building space are coming so that we can really begin to expand within that existing client base and just really prove out our technology. You know, it's cool because we've put it against every test you can possibly manage. Our CTO, Hanitan, has tested this thing six ways from Sunday. So we know what it can do. And we're really excited for it to actually get out there in the world and get more testimonials and more testimonials, kind of illustrating the impact that we know it can actually have. And then really, to Mike's point, just hiring up the people that can support that infrastructure as we grow, because I think it's going to be fast. So being able to support that is going to be key.
So, like, thinking back at your entrepreneurial journey, Mike, how much has Houston, or what specific role has Houston played in your company? And you kind of mentioned it earlier on, but how have you made the most of the burgeoning Houston innovation ecosystem to grow nanotech?
It's, I don't mean this lightly. I think Houston is the place to be for the future of innovation, especially around hard tech. We would not be where we're at if it wasn't for, you know, the love that we've received from Houston. So, like I mentioned, we started out in a garage. We happened to get spotted by Halliburton Labs. So Halliburton Labs is a clean energy accelerator, and we were the first company selected to be part of that. So we were basically company zero. We're still on their campus. So we still have a standalone building that we produce our 55 million square feet out of a year. They've been great to us. They've, you know, showed us how to go from old beer tanks to, you know, now we have the capability to produce, you know, tens of thousands of gallons a week. We could not have done that without their support. You know, your support and, you know, basically all of the things that you do, you know, highlighting different startups, it has been, every startup looks for a tailwind. And so every time we get an opportunity to get spotlighted like this, you know, really means the world to us, Natalie. And so we can't thank you enough. We're also part of the Rice University Clean Energy Accelerator. So Rice took us in, you know, they showed us a lot of different things that, you know, possibly we were overlooking and gave us different ways to reevaluate how we're going to market. And they've opened up an incredible network for us to continue to grow. And then you have all these Fortune 500 companies. So you know, Houston is one of the top cities in the world for Fortune 500 companies. They have absolutely taken us under their wing. So they, you know, they take us in on pilots. They give us a shot. You know, we're right down the road. We're all one big community. Without those Fortune 500s taking a shot on us, you know, we wouldn't have the data that we would feel confident going to the market with. So Houston companies, Houston accelerators, Houston venture capital, you know, the Ion, the Canon, all of the different places have absolutely embraced us and put a spotlight on us that we don't even deserve, but we are just so grateful for, and we could not have done it without Houston. I really believe, and I believe this with all my heart, that Houston will be a top five startup city in a very, very short amount of time, because we got the people, we have the facilities, we have the education, we have the universities, we have the infrastructure, and we have the brilliant minds working on grand challenges for the next generation.
Yeah, that's a big statement, but I would expect nothing less from you, Mike. I know you're a huge cheerleader for the ecosystem, and rightfully so, because you know everything you mentioned has been very uniquely Houston and also very uniquely a part of success. I also love the story that y'all were kind of just associates drinking and talking about Houston entrepreneurship. So I wonder, just to wrap up, if each of you could give some advice about to Houston founders about tapping both into the ecosystem and then just the people behind it. So Carrie, we'll start with you on what you've learned along the way about making the right networking opportunities and other opportunities here in Houston.
Yeah, I'll say I've worked in a lot of careers in a lot of cities all over the world over the course of my career. And one of the things that has always really driven me to Houston is that within the entrepreneurial ecosystem, there's a genuine desire to help each other, a genuine desire. You know, it's not fake in any way. I met Mike, and like 4 minutes later, we were best friends, but genuine best friends, and really had been trading advice back and forth to each other for a year before I came to work here. And Mike is not alone in that. You know, I found such an incredible, rich culture in the entrepreneurial system in Houston. So I think for young entrepreneurs here, I would say networking is really unique in this city in particular. Take advantage of the events that you can go to, whether you think you have a role to play there or not, go. You know, meet as many people as you possibly can. Build that network, because this city is very unique in its desire to genuinely help you and also offer you the opportunity to help somebody else, you know, along the way. And that's pretty rare, you know, across the world. The last thing I will just say too is, Houston has a pretty unprecedented level of very powerful entrepreneurial women, which has been an incredible tailwind for my own transition into the world of entrepreneurism. So build that network and continue to support each other, because I have just been blown away by the sheer breadth and depth of advice and talent that I've really seen in that in particular.
Yeah, I would echo what Carrie says. Collide with as many people as you possibly can. You know, both of you know that I like to collide, you know, probably more so than many people in the after hours, you know, over a beer, but there's many places that you can collide, right? You can collide at, you know, Cup of Joey at the Ion at 8 a.m. on every Friday. You know, like Carrie mentioned, everybody in the Houston innovation ecosystem is really eager to help each other, because we all want to see Houston rise, because it's good for all of us when that happens. The best thing that a young entrepreneur can do is demonstrate trust and get to the speed of trust with those that they need help from or those that they are helping. Getting to that point of trust, those become the connections and those become the collisions that start to manifest themselves in really powerful tailwinds as you grow from idea to garage to funded to scale. I can point back, you know, to many of the collisions that I made early on, and, you know, without any expectation of what was going to happen, just focusing on building that trust and building that relationship. And now those are starting to pay dividends in this period of nanotech. So always take the coffee, always go to the breakfast, always go to the happy hour if that's your thing, because you never know when a single collision will change things for you.
Yeah, that's such a great reminder and note on yeah, you can shake a lot of hands and get a lot of business cards, but those deeper connections are going to make more of a difference down the road. So thank you both so much for your time. It's always a joy seeing kind of the next step for nanotech as a Houston-built company. So thank you both for giving me that update.
Thanks for having us, Natalie. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Houston Innovators Podcast. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss next week's edition, and check out innovationmap.com for the latest Houston startup and innovation news.